You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Time is 8:07, currently at our Bull Falls Radio 98.9 WXCO studios in downtown Wausau. Some sunshine, temperature stands at 58 degrees. It is Wednesday, September the 18th of 2024, the hump day edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on 98.9 WXCO, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. And you can also join us by going to facebook.com, clicking on the 98.9 WXCO page, and there's a video stream where you can see the video of our program, see our studios, and watch the show, listen to the show, and add comments as well. If you put your questions and comments on the link on the Facebook page, we will see them and we will respond to them, and we will invite you to be part of this show. Also, if you would like, you can also be part of the show through calling or texting. The best way to do it is to download the Civic Media app, bring up the 98.9 WXCO page, and then just click the button to call or click the button to text. Real simple. Or else you can do it the old-fashioned way by dialing us up, and the number is the same for both. If you want to text us or to call us, the number is 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297 to join us here on the program. Coming up here on the show at 8:20 this morning, we'll be talking to meteorologist Brittany Merlot, talk to her about the very warm weather we've been seeing here in north central Wisconsin, see whether or not these temperatures in the 80s will continue throughout the rest of the work week into the weekend, and a whole bunch more. Also, we'll talk to her about the harvest supermoon. In fact, she put out on her Facebook page a picture of the harvest supermoon from last night. Very, very impressive indeed. She's always into those special weather circumstances, and right on top of it. So Brittany Merlot coming up at 8:20 this morning. Then after that, after our bottom of the hour information update, we'll be talking to Elizabeth McCrank. She is the Democratic nominee for the 35th Assembly District. That is Merrill and Lincoln County, and points just north of our studios here in Wausau. But Elizabeth McCrank is the Democratic nominee for the 35th Assembly District, and she is going up against the incumbent, Calvin Callahan. And we're less than 7 weeks away from the election, so we'll talk to Elizabeth McCrank about what she is finding out on the campaign trail and her talks with voters. What are the issues that she is focusing on as we get closer and closer to Election Day? So that's coming up here in this hour on the Chad Holmes Show on 98.9 WXCO. Before we go any further, need to say hello and good morning to our in-studio engineer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning. Hi, Chad.
Did you get a chance to see that supermoon that we talked about yesterday?
Oh, yes, we did. Actually, my whole family, I saw it, including my brother and sister in Madison. And so the whole family got to see it. It was so cool because my dad said, and when he looked at it, it kind of was like an eyeball. Kind of with that little peek of the I think it was the eclipse. As at the very top, it was pretty cool to see, and it's not often you get to see that. So It really was quite a sight.
Very good. So we'll talk to Brittany Merlot more about that coming up in about 10 minutes or so. I wanted to discuss a little bit of the vote yesterday in Washington, in the United States Senate, a vote on in vitro fertilization. And as I was coming in this morning, I was tuned in to Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, and he was talking quite a bit about this vote and in terms of what it meant. And he was talking about how Republicans basically not taking a win, and basically that there's a bunch, he listed a bunch of issues where they could vote for it and then it'd be in the rearview mirror. And I kind of disagreed with the whole premise of what he was talking about. He was talking about the state budget surplus for Republicans in Wisconsin, talking about funding for schools in Wisconsin, talking about this IVF bill in Washington, about how Republicans refusing to take wins or along those lines. And my thought is, this is not about them not wanting to take a win. This is about what they believe in. And I think this vote yesterday was not a matter of just, you know, not taking a win, because if they really wanted to put it behind them, and this is an issue that I don't think is helping them in the final 7 weeks of this campaign, the idea of voting no yesterday makes no sense. And again, I truly respect what Pat has to say, but at the same time, I found myself just shaking my head that let's go back to the old adage, look at what I do, not what I say. And because there's a lot of Republicans who are talking right now saying, well, yeah, we're for in vitro fertilization. There's no problem there. There's not going to be any change in that. Well, if you recall over the past decade or so, if you go back to the Supreme Court nomination hearings, you had folks going back, you know, a couple of decades like John Roberts. You have people like Brett Kavanaugh. You have people like Amy Coney Barrett all saying, no, no, abortion, Roe v. Wade is settled law. They saw no tiptoeing around the issue, but basically giving the impression to the Democrats who were asking them questions that, no, they would not overturn Roe v. Wade, that people have nothing to worry about. That's exactly what Republicans are saying right now when it comes to a number of issues, including IVF. So the idea that somehow that this is not from the core of their being, these votes, I think is giving them much more credit than they deserve. And again, bottom line is, don't bother listening to what Donald Trump, I mean, I saw there was a New York Times headline this morning concerning the vote yesterday that Republicans voted against the Democratic bill put up by Tammy Duckworth yesterday to basically codify IVF and to make sure that IVF would have legislation behind it guaranteeing its rights. And the New York Times headline said, Republicans vote against this bill, breaking with Trump. They did not break with Trump in this deal. Again, it's one of those New York Times headlines we've seen over and over again recently that is not exactly the truth. Yesterday, it was a 51-44 vote in favor of the bill, but, and again, part of the system that we live under, we talked about this yesterday. Yesterday was Constitution Day, that there are aspects of our system of government that can be frustrating at times. And one of which is when you see bills that have a majority that are behind it, but it's not enough because of the filibuster, in this case, in the United States Senate. Because of the filibuster, in order for this bill to go through the process and ultimately become law, it needs 60 votes. It needs 60 votes in order to stop a filibuster. So despite the fact that this Duckworth bill had 51 yes votes, 51-44. Again, that's 95 votes in the U.S. Senate. One of the voters that did not arrive was J.D. Vance, the senator from Ohio, the Republican vice presidential nominee. He was in Eau Claire yesterday, instead campaigning, instead of doing his job in Washington, D.C. But so again, there was a majority vote in favor of it. But the idea that Republicans broke with Trump because only two Republicans, Susan Collins of Maine and Senator Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, voted with the Democrats for this bill. So they had two Republicans that voted for it and 42 Republicans who were on the floor voting against it. But the idea that this was a break with Trump. Well, Trump says things all the time that he really doesn't mean. When he feels that political wind blowing one way or the other, he's going to try to be on the right side of that wind in order to not lose votes. So the idea that Trump's talking about being for IVF, Republicans talking about being for IVF, the actions don't indicate that. They call this a stunt somehow. But Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, has said that he is for IVF protections, that IVF should be allowed and not have any worry for families that are trying to use IVF to expand their families, should not have to worry about that. Mike Johnson says he is for IVF. He is the Speaker of the House of Representatives. If he is for that, why are we seeing a bill that's being put forward in the United States Senate and not one that has Republican principles when it comes to IVF in the U.S. House of Representatives? Because if, along with Mike Johnson, all these other Republicans keep saying, hey, that there's no, we are for it. There's one, I think it was Rick Scott. No, John Thune, actually, the number two Senate Republican. He is serving on the Republican leadership just below the Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell. John Thune, the number two Republican behind McConnell, said, quote, let me remind everybody that Republicans support IVF full stop. If that's the case, why aren't they doing anything? It's real easy, again, as I said, it's easy to talk the talk. It's more difficult to walk the walk. So this idea that, and I think that some people on the left are falling for it, that Republicans really, you know, in their hearts, they're for it. They may not have been able to pass anything yet, but in their hearts, they're for it. I am completely of the opposite opinion on this. In their hearts, they're against it. In the same way they were against Roe v. Wade. They were trying to hide the fact during election season. They were trying to hide the fact during Supreme Court nomination hearings. They try to hide these facts because they know that they're in the minority on these issues. But when they get into power, they have this opportunity then to pass these bills. And when there's a Republican in the White House, they will sign it. And all of a sudden, it's like we are stuck in a situation where for more than 2 years now, Roe v. Wade was overturned, and nothing has been done to reestablish those rights for women in this country. So again, don't give the benefit of the doubt to the GOP when they say, hey, Republicans are for IVF. It's time to walk the walk along with talking the talk. The time is 8:18. It is a beautiful start weather-wise here in north central Wisconsin. Coming up next, we will talk about the weather for the rest of the work week with Brittany Merloa. That's straight ahead. I'm Chad Holmes, along with Ian Welsh, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app, and again also at Facebook.com on the Bow Falls Radio page as well. You can watch the video stream here on the program. But it is a lovely start again here in north central Wisconsin at our studios on the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. Plenty of sunshine, the temperature knocking on the door of 60 degrees. So again, as you start off your day, it's going to be a wonderful start. Walk to the car wherever you're heading off here in central Wisconsin. And to talk about the weather and more, again, we welcomed our meteorologist, Brittany Merloa. And Brittany, good morning.
Good morning. I don't know how you guys are doing, but my allergies are through the roof, so I apologize for the sniffles in advance.
No problem at all. And that's actually,
I know how you feel. I have allergies all the time, too.
And that is actually interesting because you're right in terms of a lot of folks out there right now have been fighting the allergies. And so we will definitely not hold it against you here. Before we talk about the weather, Brittany, I just saw on your Facebook page in the past hour or so, you had a picture of the Harvest Supermoon. So you were up there watching it last night. Really nice picture. And it really is, was quite a sight last night, wasn't it?
It was. It was so big, bright. Even for a split second, I was like, wait a minute, am I supposed to be looking at this directly? But yes, it was fine. Only the sun, when that eclipses, that's what you don't want to look straight at. But it was beautiful. The way that I kind of saw it, it looked like it had a little tap hat on, the little black right off the top. It's like wearing a little hat. It was cute. But very powerful, magnetic, awesome stuff to see. And then, you know, it was just big and blue, I'm not blue, big and bright this morning, too. And it was right there on the horizon. Just gorgeous.
Isn't it?
So I hope you guys got to see it.
Yeah, and actually, does it seem like there's more of these kind of phenomena recently, or is it just me? It seems like there's been quite a few of these kind of special events that just seem to pop up from time to time.
It has been a quite active year for that. I agree with you, Chad. A little bit more going on this year. And not to mention the sun and its flares. The auroras have been very, very active this year compared to all of the other years. I know the sun is at its peak and it's doing so. But I mean, just two nights ago, there was a G6 storm and so many pictures coming in. So I think from the Northern Lights to the eclipses, it's been an active year for sure.
It's been not an active weather pattern here recently. We have not seen any significant storms recently. The last couple of weeks, it has been much warmer than normal, but the warm temperatures appear to be sticking around. But also, we may be getting a little bit of rain as well, right?
Yes, and we kind of need it, actually. Yeah. A lot of these state, I think 50% of the state now is abnormally dry. So we'll take a little bit of rain. I don't like the timing of it because a lot of the rain is going to be moving in on the weekend. But we do have some for Thursday night and potentially Friday morning. So beautiful today. Tons of sunshine, as you can see out there. I think we're going to see some clouds increasing this afternoon. Still the sun making its way through, but a little bit more cloud cover than the past few days. Highs still making it to the mid-80s today. Tomorrow, mix of sun and clouds, low 80s. So still well above average, but just a touch cooler. And then those showers start to work in. I think that they'll be around 3 to 4 o'clock. We'll start to see some of them. And then by night, right around midnight and into the overnight hours, again, this is Thursday night into Friday morning, we could see some showers and storms. So some rumbles of thunder could wake you up, some heavier rainfall into Friday morning, and then it clears out of here pretty quickly. We have a dry day Friday. We start off Saturday pretty dry. I think we have a chance for a few scattered showers on Saturday. Saturday's a little bit up in the air. But Sunday, for sure, we've got a front lifting, a low pressure pushing in. This is going to bring showers and some heavy, heavy storms. Mm-hmm. So we could see some potential of some localized flooding as this moves in Sunday and Monday. Clears on out for later on the week. But I'll tell you when this leaves. Us, at least, temperatures in the upper 60s now for Monday.
Well, that's about normal, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, but it's going to be a world of difference compared to our mid-80s.
It's going to feel cold, right? It's going to feel chilly. Yeah. You're going to get those jackets out there again. It's always interesting that the start of the seasons when it starts to get colder, when you get into the fall, then into the winter, you bundle up quicker. But then when the winter ends and you get towards the spring and you get temperatures in the 40s or something like that, people are walking around without a jacket because it's like it feels so warm after being cooped up with parkas all winter long. But I tell you, we get to about 65, you're going to see a lot of people wearing jackets out there next week, I bet.
I know. I think it's our weakest moment as a state when fall hits. We're like, wait a minute. But we've got this.
Exactly. And again, we're going to be way above normal, at least for a few more days. What are the details as we head downhill towards the weekend?
Yeah, so today, bright, beautiful, still unseasonably warm. Temperatures reaching into those mid-80s, turning partly cloudy by tonight. Some of those clouds will hang on for tomorrow as well. So a mix of sun and clouds, highs hitting those low 80s. We'll see some showers pushing in by the afternoon. They'll fizzle out. And then a round of showers and storms overnight Thursday and into our Friday morning. You might want to find that umbrella for early. Otherwise, by the afternoon, it'll clear on out, bright and beautiful, highs at about 80 degrees on Friday and Saturday. The sunshine still hangs on. Then everything changes Sunday. That's when that wet weather moves on in. And of course, cooler temperatures, mid-70s by Sunday, upper 60s to start off next week.
Well, I tell you, I mean, what, 2 weeks in a row of temperatures around 80 or higher? It's about time for a little bit of a change. I'm not shocked, to say the least, that it's never going to stop. You know, oh, it's never going to stop. No, it's going to stop, and it's going to get chillier and wetter. But as you said, we do need, I think, a little bit of rain. So that's a good thing. And for the fall, you want that little nip in the air, you know?
Yes. A little crisp.
Exactly.
Air. Exactly. And well, a free car wash with the rain. Let's take it.
Yeah, there you go. Well, Brittany, thanks again for all the information. Have yourself a great Wednesday, and we'll catch you tomorrow.
Sounds good. Have a great day, everyone.
Bye, Brittany.
That is our Brittany Merlot, meteorologist, with us with the accurate forecast. And the thing is, it is accurate. And I tell you, ever since she became our morning meteorologist here on this program, real early this year, maybe late last year. I mean, time has no meaning anymore. This goes by so very quickly. But really, the accuracy of the forecast has been just stellar from Brittany and the rest of the Civic Media weather team as well. Right now, again, as I look to my right, outside, it is a beautiful start here in downtown Wausau. Lots of sunshine, not a lot of wind at this moment. I see the leaves barely moving on the big tree just outside the window here at our studios in downtown Wausau. Fair skies, 58 degrees. Winds are out of the east at just 6 miles per hour. The dew point is 52. Relative humidity of 81%. The barometer at 30.03 inches and a visibility of 10 miles. Coming up, we will have a complete information update. Find out the news headlines from around the country and around the world with CBS. Terry Bell will be on hand from our Madison newsroom with our Civic Media statewide news update. Brittany will have the local news and the local forecast. And Jimmy Cuska will be in with a sports report. Tell us about the Brewers last night in their game against Philadelphia, whether or not they were able to clinch the National League Central Division. And then after that, we will be talking to Elizabeth McCrank, a candidate for the State Assembly. She will be joining us coming up after the information update. Along with Ian Welsh, again, I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on 98.9 WXCO, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Again, we are just 48 days away from Election Day. Yesterday, it was 7 weeks even until November and the big election. And among the candidates on the ballot for the State Assembly, and of course, lots of activity in the Assembly this time around as Democrats try to close the gap and maybe even take over control of the Assembly for the next session in next year. And one of the candidates just north of us here in Wausau, in the Merrill area, Lincoln County and more, 35th State Assembly, Elizabeth McCrank. And Elizabeth, thank you again for coming back on the program.
Oh, it's great to be back, Chad. Thanks for having me.
Well, I guess first update, how is it going in terms of this candidacy? Because you've shown great energy. We've talked, again, you have so many different things that you want to talk about and things you want to do. You've been, I'm sure, talking to a lot of folks in your district. How has the campaign been going? Do you have the sense that the voters are open to the message, at the very least? Because I think that's one of the things I've kind of noticed here, that after 10 years of some chaos, both within state government and federal government, that maybe people are willing to at least listen. And is that what you're finding out there?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've been having a great time as summer transitions into fall, getting around the district, which of course is mostly, it's all of Lincoln County, all of Langlade County, the northern tier of Marathon County, a little bit of Shawano and a little bit of Oconto. So I've been bouncing around and talking to tons of people. We had a great time at the Labor Day Parade in Merrill, gave out about 800 pieces of literature and including Packers schedules. So at least people have something useful coming out of my campaign, no matter what their positions are, and presuming they're Packer fans and not, you know, purple people eater fans. But I was out at the Antigo Farmers Market last Saturday talking with people, and what a great farmers market it is. It's super vibrant. It's crowded. There's so many good vendors there and so much good stuff to offer. We found that about, and the Langlade County Dems hosted me there, so shout out to those guys for great support. About 9 out of every 10 people who came past and stopped and talked with us were incredibly supportive, or they were inquisitive. They wanted to know, well, where do you stand on this, or how do you feel about that? And so people were open to talking about real issues. And I think that's one of the biggest selling points that we have here is, as you say, we've endured a decade of chaos. And I think people are a little bit tired of campaigns and representation that are hysterical and designed to create hysteria, designed to get people wound up about events that, you know, they're the kind of things that appear on Entertainment Tonight. Mm-hmm. They're not the things that people face every single day when they get up, have to send their kids off to daycare or to school, and then go to work and try to actually just get along in their communities and thrive here. So I think that there is a change in the climate. I think the tenor of things is constructive and positive, and I'm finding that I'm just having a great time meeting everybody and showing up at events, mostly to volunteer, so that no matter what happens in the election, people benefit from me showing up.
You're somebody that's already been serving as member of the Lincoln County Board, and good government. I think this state has such a tradition. If you go back to 1848, moving forward, going through the progressive era of fighting Bob La Follette, and good government. And I think sometimes we take our eyes off the ball when it comes to good government. And you were telling me before we went on the air that just last night, instead of being out there knocking on doors, you were doing your role as a member of the board in Lincoln County, which I compare favorably to J.D. Vance, who was not doing his job yesterday in the United States Senate and actually campaigning in Eau Claire, but that's a whole different story. But one of the issues that actually has animated you was being discussed. But the idea, you can talk about the issue and also talk about good government. And I think that's something that I think people also crave in this time, don't they?
Absolutely. You know, so the big issue that and this is a nationwide issue, is what it is we do about centers and facilities for elder care, and in particular nursing homes. County-owned nursing homes are a unique thing. They are not businesses. They are not industries. They exist to serve those people that the regular market simply cannot or will not serve. And so they are a unique and fabulous thing. And in lieu of having a universal health care system, at least we have those. There's been a big push in Lincoln County to divest ourselves of our county-owned nursing home. And I want to remind people that push to sell off the Pinecrest Nursing Home was initiated in May of 2023 by Calvin Callahan, who was at the time serving on the Lincoln County Board. And I didn't at the time have an opinion one way or another, so I proposed a referendum because I felt like this was not a routine issue. This is something we really needed to ask the people of our county what they wanted us to do. And at the time, you could still do an advisory referendum. So I just wanted to know, do you want me to fight for this or not? Well, guess who tabled the referendum indefinitely and killed it? The guy who's now sitting in the Assembly 35th District seat, he said a referendum is unnecessary. Well, last month, we voted again on the county board about the possibility of a referendum, now a binding one. And we actually had enough votes to pass. The county board chair, under a bit of pressure and sort of chaos in the meeting itself, erroneously declared that we did not have enough votes. But we did. And unfortunately, nobody challenged the ruling at the time. I did ask last night for a recount, which Robert's Rules of Orders allow me to do in the next regular meeting. The chair admitted that he had made a mistake and declined to rule in the correct fashion. He declined to correct it. It's like the quarterback who loses a game and says, I take full responsibility. But of course, there's no consequence. He still has, right. You know, the quarterback still has his job. He gets to play the next week. So what does it mean to take full responsibility? And Chad, there were probably 70 people attending that meeting last night, all concerned about this one issue. Because later on the same agenda, there was a resolution to go back and try and sell the county board, the county nursing home. I wish we could sell our county board. Right. And you know, they, of course, the group that is dominating, who feels that government can't do anything right, many of them, not all of them, but certainly the person who said that voted to sell the nursing home. So they're back at it, not paying attention to the hundreds of people who have been coming and talking to them and calling them. One board member did say that he gets four or five calls against keeping the nursing home. I assume that people, the public, picks and chooses the supervisors they call, because my calls are 5-1 in favor of keeping the nursing home, a county-owned facility. So we're, but what the public saw was they saw us admitting that we had made a mistake and refusing to correct it. How does that inspire faith in our long tradition of home rule and local governance?
It doesn't. That's the bottom line. Another issue I wanted to talk about is because I know, and again, I maybe not as closely been following it, but I think recently, in at least one of the last number of election cycles, up in Merrill, they asked voters for their school, had a school referendum. And I find it interesting, again, in areas that are, I think, a little bit more conservative, they're seeing some of the pain because of some of the actions and inactions when it comes to education and the funding that is going on in Madison. I wanted to ask you, in terms of, you know, being in that area, seeing what's been going on within the schools in your area, seeing what's been going on or not going on when it comes to proper funding down in Madison, what are your ideas when it comes to trying to, you know, number one, maybe help the folks in your backyard, and number two, just generally with the education funding, should you be elected?
Yeah, that is such an important question, because I have watched this school referendum fail several times now, and it's heartbreaking. What research shows, and there's a great researcher at the University of Akron in Ohio, Amanda Weinstein, what her research has shown is that the thing that's most likely to attract people to an area is if they are making good investments in their educational system. Now, I get it. It's really hard for people to pay their taxes and then to see them go up again, especially when the population of the area is declining, even at a small rate, it's still going down. So why should we put more money in? Well, it's an investment in our future, number one. But the big lever that we can move here is down in Madison, where we can decouple some of our property tax rules from the growth numbers that have been imposed upon them, because the way that the levy limits currently operate, they reward communities that are growing, even if those communities are not growing smartly. And communities that are more rural, which in this country, rural communities for 70 years have been getting smaller and smaller, mm-hmm. It penalizes those communities, even while those communities harbor some of the most important parts of our economic base, agricultural and manufacturing bases. So we need to separate those things out. We need to adjust the levy limit system so that it doesn't penalize communities that are being smart and being frugal and reward communities that might be being a little more profligate, but showing growth as a result of them. So even if we're shrinking, we have to do what at the University of Iowa they call shrink smart. And I think we can get some lessons from our neighbors to the south in Iowa. They are investigating how you can shrink smart, or maybe even turn it around and grow, but grow gently. So that's what I'd be doing down in Madison.
Again, we're talking to 35th Assembly Democratic nominee Elizabeth McCrank here on 98.9 WXCO. You talk about, I think, economic challenges that rural communities have and that maybe have not been properly focused on by conservative politicians, because they focus so very often on the social aspects. It appears that your race is along that line as well, where the most important aspects, and I think in terms of building a better life economically for a lot of folks in rural communities, are being ignored because the focus is so often on these social issues. Are you finding that in your race as well?
Yeah. I think that, you know, one of the frustrating things is to watch our representative down in Madison focus on what I call television issues that the average person isn't really facing here. They're you know, some people call them the culture wars, and they are they're not cultural, and they shouldn't be wars. We shouldn't be fighting civil wars here. We should be expanding people's freedoms, not limiting them, and we should be supporting people. You know, there's a lot of diversity even within communities that don't look like they're diverse. And that's okay. We can live with that. We can live, you know, I can live with people down the street from me who are very, very different from me. And I don't appreciate when being different from somebody is used to try and divide me and outrage me or scare me into thinking that I have to somehow, you know, pull up the drawbridge and isolate myself rather than build community. I think we should focus a lot more on building community. And one of the ways we can do that is by building better networks to support our farmers. I would love to see, besides an expansion of Badger Care, which the people of the state have said that they wanted, and 38 other states have done, I would like to see us expand it in two other ways. I would like to see us expand Badger Care to include a component for farmers who are forced to work two jobs. They're farmers, and then they have to go and work in some town at some factory just to try and get the same insurance that everybody else gets from working one job. So we really need to look at finding a way to provide a health insurance pathway for farmers so that they can just be farmers and not have to be double workers. And we could do something similar with veterans. I think the VA is a good example, even despite the challenges. And you're gonna, anytime you deal with as many people as they do, you know, 70 million people are veterans in this country, about 11% of the population. And when they go into a facility anywhere in the state and ask for any medical care, I believe that we owe it to them. It's not enough just to say thank you for your service. We need to take care of people. And I don't care if the veteran walks in and says to a plastic surgeon, I want a nose job because I don't like the way I look. Mm-hmm. That's that person's business, not mine. I think we should be giving them that care and that option, no questions asked. I'm not going to make windows into other people's souls. And so I would like to see a change in the climate and see us support each other rather than attack each other.
Elizabeth McCrank, 35th Assembly District Democratic nominee. I tell you, you were in the county board meeting for 3 hours last night, and you come in here with all the energy in the world here this morning. I can see why you enjoy campaigning. Again, appreciate you coming back on. Hopefully we'll get you back on before Election Day again. And best of luck as you continue on the trail.
Excellent. Thanks so much for having me again, Chad. I look forward to talking with you, and I look forward to meeting more people in the district because people kind of do energize me.
Thanks again, Elizabeth. Elizabeth McCrank. The time is 8:49. Again, a beautiful start here in north central Wisconsin. Plenty of sunshine, temperature knocking on 60 degrees. We'll be back in just a moment. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO. On Friday night, the Wausau West High School football team travels to Wisconsin Rapids to take on the Lincoln Red Raiders in a Wisconsin Valley Conference matchup. Hear all the exciting action live on 98.9 WXCO, online at BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Coverage begins with the pregame show at 6:35 and the opening kickoff at 7 p.m. Wausau West Sports on 98.9 WXCO is brought to you by the Cloverbelt Credit Union, Red Robin Restaurants, Sun Printing, Domtar, the Wausau West Athletic Department, North Star Restoration, K5 Construction, and Coast to Coast Marketing. It's Wausau West at Wisconsin Rapids in high school football. Friday night, starting with the pregame show at 6:35 on 98.9 WXCO, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 and 1230 WXCO. If you can't hear us on the radio, there's plenty of other ways you can do it as well. You can listen to us on your computer. Go to our website, BowFallsRadio.com. Click on the Listen Live link. If you don't have a computer in front of you, got your phone, you can go to your mobile devices. Just search out Bow Falls 98.9 WXCO. Search WXCO. Go to the different apps. Man, my mind. The Simple Radio app, the TuneIn Radio app. If you got those, you can search out WXCO. You can go to your Alexa, say WXCO. The Civic Media app, that's one that you really need to get. We just updated it again. You can listen to us there and all the stations on the Civic Media Radio Network as well. So, again, so many different ways to be able to tune in wherever you are, all around the world. And it's amazing. When I was your age, Ian, the idea that you could listen to a radio station anywhere is beyond. Because I've been with WXCO for a very long time and doing, as we just heard, high school sports coming up this weekend again. And back, you know, for many of the years I was doing high school sports, one of the things that always would bother me, because this was before we had 98.9, this was just 1230.
Yeah.
And at night, basically the signal for WXCO 1230, you're lucky to get it down towards Cronenwetter. I lived in Rothschild for a number of years, and I would be driving home and the station would start to fade. And it was like, it would make me so frustrated thinking that there was a Friday night football game or a basketball game or a hockey game, whatever it may be. And that if you were basically, you know, beyond a few blocks away from our stick here in Wausau, you would not be able to hear the game. But now it's like we got 98.9, so you're able to listen at night, you know, much further away throughout much of Marathon County, which is a great thing. But then you have the opportunity to listen online, to be able to listen through an app, and be able to listen wherever you are. And it is one of those amazing occurrences. And I think that sometimes I get a little down on technology. I say that I'm very happy that I grew up without phones in school and all the social media and everything else. But there are some really good aspects as well. The opportunity to listen to us wherever you may be, I think, is one of the really cool things.
Oh, absolutely. I still remember when I was in high school, I had a flip phone. That's how old I am, people. I had a flip phone as a birthday present for when I turned 20.
I had a flip phone not too many years ago, to be honest with you.
I turned 18 when I had a flip phone. Well, no, I had a flip phone in high school. I couldn't really do much with it except for make phone calls and take pictures as well. I mean, I couldn't use the internet or YouTube because it wasn't like.
No, I remember
a
real
flip phone wasn't really made for that.
Remember real? Actually, I remember I could never. YouTube was out there for a long time before I was ever able to use it.
Oh yeah, it's been around a while.
I know, but I would have these dial-up internet at my apartment.
And
it would not be enough to get, like, you know, video. It would be enough to just be online, but if you try to get video on it, you cannot do it. So it's like, finally we got rid of the dial-up, and it was like, all right, now we can actually watch these videos and stuff like that.
But technology has definitely improved over the last few years, sometimes for the good and sometimes for the bad.
And that's the thing. I mean, I think any aspect of change, and when you think about it, when you think about the last 120 years or so, back to the beginning of the 1900s, if we were to go into a time machine and go back to January 1st of 1900, how different the world would be. I don't even know if we had cars back then. I think that was actually before cars. It's amazing the strides that have been taken in just the very, very recent history. Because if you think about history as a whole, the amount of technology and advancements that were made in human history up until the last 100, 120 years compared to the last 120 years was nothing. And that actually makes me a little bit nervous as we go forward. I mean, you think about what we've been able to accomplish in the last 100 years. What are we going to accomplish in the next 100 years? And will it be good for us? Because, I go back to the whole Terminator thing, you know, where the machines take over. and I mean, you think about that.
And that was actually the origin of the it was a computer program called Skynet.
Skynet.
Which basically said that, you know, if we upload this system onto all our military satellites, it will have complete control of all our nuclear weapons and the military. But and then one line I remember from the movie is like, but you'll have control of Skynet, right? Yes.
Of course.
What's the problem? And they upload it, and the computer takes over. I mean, it's...
And they couldn't unplug it.
Decisions like that, that made me nervous.
I know, and it's like back when the first Terminator came out, and you talk about the machines taking over, the war between the humans and the machines, my and then, goodness. Of course, and that was like in the early 80s, and then, of course, T2 and T3 after that. I mean, the thing was, back then, it's like when it first happened, that could never happen. Now it's like, when is it going to happen?
Nowadays, like, it's theoretically plausible.
It certainly is. And it's, again, there's good stuff and then there's stuff to worry about. So
just keep an open mind.
There you go. The time is 8:58. We're going to find out what's happening again. What's happening out there with an information update, news, weather, and sports. And then we're back with our number two of the show. With Ian Welsh, I'm Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.